morning's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Good morning, church. It's good to see everybody today. Glad that we can be together and that we have some time to study God's Word. We have some guests with us today, and we're grateful that you're here as well. Thank you for being here today. Some of you that you've been here several times recently, and we're glad to see your faces again. And some of you are brand new to our church family. We're glad to meet you this morning as well. And thank you very much for being here. Before our lesson this morning, I'm going to embarrass a couple of people, and I should have told them about this, and I apologize, but here it's coming, Corley. We have some new members that I want to introduce you to today. Grant and Madeline Corley asked to be part of our church family last Wednesday night. They spoke with the shepherds, and we're excited that they're going to be part of our group. I'm going to ask them to stand up so that you can see who they are, sitting right there. So make sure that you get a chance to meet them. Thank you very much. They are both from Louisville. They've just recently moved back to the area, and they're in the process of buying a house, and they're expecting their first child. So I know that's very exciting as well. We're thankful that God has blessed us with them here. They will be huge assets to this church, and we pray that we will be a spiritual blessing to them as well. I want you to open your Bible to Psalm number 127, please. Psalm number 127. We're going to begin there this morning as we talk about taking time for a break. This psalm is by Solomon. We typically think of the psalms as being by his father David. This one is written by Solomon. I just want to read with you this morning verse 2 as we begin our study today. Solomon says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, because God gives to his beloved sleep." What a cool thought. What a comforting thought that God intends to give rest to His people. It's interesting to me. 20% of Americans report that they get less than 6 hours of sleep per night. The Center for Disease Control says that number is 30% of Americans that get less than 6 hours of sleep per night. There are plenty of indicators that we live in a society that just doesn't rest very well. We vacation, but we don't know how to rest very well because those things are different. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the concept of rest. I hope that you from this sermon will get some rest, but I hope you won't do it during this sermon. God does talk in His scriptures quite a bit about the concept of rest, that He gives rest to those whom He loves. He gives rest to those who trust in Him. Now, let me just say on the forefront of this, as we get into this topic, there is a big difference in the Bible between the idea of rest and the idea of laziness. God, through the mouth of Solomon, through the pen of Solomon, talks about both of those things. And he ridicules the lazy man, but he says the one who finds rest in God is a blessed man. Stephen Covey, not exactly comparable to Solomon, but we're going to go with it anyway. Stephen Covey is the first person that I heard to delineate the difference between things that are urgent and things that are important. And when we talk about rest in the scriptures, as we will this morning, we are talking about taking time away from the urgent so that we can spend it on things that are important. When we talk about the Bible's ideas of rest, We're talking about the kind of time that we pull away from cell phones and emails and meetings and all sorts of things like that. And we just spend time focused on what's most important, on our relationship with God. And I think that most people who consider themselves believers will understand that that concept is necessary for us. That kind of idea, it gives us the chance to focus on what is the most life-giving thing in our lives, that being a relationship with God. I've got some reasons that this is worth our time this morning, and I hope that you'll take those to heart, some things that I want you to think about and apply in your life. But I thought this was a good time to do this. I know we're getting close to the end of the school year, and I know that summer break just kind of naturally gives an extra time for rest. And so I want to talk about this in the Bible's way of talking about it so that some of you guys that are about to be on a break will know how to use it the best way that God intends for it to be used. I think it's interesting that God talks about it as much as He does. Now I'm going to go through some passages just very quickly, just reference them all in passing so you can write some of these down, but don't try to keep up in the Scripture. Don't try to turn your Bibles. Let me just give them to you to think about. On the seventh day of creation in Genesis chapter 2, God rested from His work of creating. That's the precedent that He set right there. After 400 years in slavery to the nation of Egypt, God promised a land of rest to his people. In the law that He gave to the people for that new land of rest where they were going, He gave them a Sabbath day, one day every week that they weren't supposed to do any work. They were to take time and rest in the presence of God. He also gave them a Sabbath year that every 7 years they would leave their crops, they would leave their fields to rest for a whole year, and they themselves would not work those fields planting and harvesting crops. Every 50 years, every seven sevens, if you will, God intended for them to observe the year of Jubilee. Our brother Matt Robinson talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and he reminded us that God intended them to let the land rest for 2 whole years. 2 whole years, God says, don't plant your fields, don't harvest any crops, don't work. For 2 whole years. It's not an economically sound strategy, but it is God's plan. God gave a promise of rest to David, King David, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, round about verse 11. He promised several hundred years after the law was given that David would be a king of rest and that God would eventually bring another king of rest from David's line. Solomon is promised to be a king of rest to his people in 2 Chronicles 22:9. And in the passage that was read for us before the sermon in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus made His promise that He would bring rest to His people, that He would give us a chance to lay our burdens on Him and to take up His easy and light burden and bring rest to our souls. Now that's just 8 references in the Scriptures. That's not even a comprehensive list. But at least that many times and over that many hundreds and thousands of years, God spoke of giving rest to His people. I think it's interesting that for such a simple sounding concept, that God makes it a point to talk about it that much. That sounds like just kind of a basic guideline for life. It's like, oh yeah, every now and then I kind of need to be reminded. But God has made it a big part of our relationship to Him and how He wants things to go and how things are working in our best interest when He takes care of us. There are plenty of ways that God intends for this to work in our favor. And so let me just remind you some of those this morning from the Scriptures. Firstly, it is important that we learn to rest and reset. There's a simple story about a young man who went to work for a logging company in the mid-1800s. And on his first day of working for this company, he felled more trees with an axe than anybody else in the history of the company. More trees in a single day than anybody else had ever done. The next day, he worked just as hard and he matched the record that had been kept by that company, the most that had ever been done. The third day, he worked just as hard and he felled an exactly average number of trees. The average for what most men were able to do at this company. On the fourth day, he worked just as hard and his turnout was just pathetic. His workload for the day was just pathetic. And so at the end of that fourth day, the foreman came up to him and he asked him why his numbers were decreasing so quickly. And he didn't know. The young man said, I've been working just as hard every day. I don't know why the numbers are going down so quickly. And he said, you know what the problem was? You haven't sharpened the axe. Solomon talked about that problem as well. Solomon said exactly the same thing in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. It says, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen its edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. I'm telling you that to tell you something that most of you already know. It is that taking a break from the hard work of life can give us the needed time to understand the situation a little better. Taking a break from the hard work that is life can give us what we need to understand our situation, and especially in terms of our relationship with God, a little bit better. And we're not even necessarily talking about the concept of downtime or vacation as much as we are talking about deliberately spending time with God. Deliberately choosing to be in His presence, to connect with God and be at rest from this world which is passing away. I hope that that word will stick in your mind this morning, that when we talk about the Bible's idea of rest, we're talking about something that is deliberate, that is on purpose, that we choose to do when we choose to spend time with God. That gives us a chance for fresh perspective. It gives us a chance to reevaluate where we are and set a new course. Okay, I know that I don't look like a rock climber. I understand that. Matter of fact, Alexandra brought it to my attention very clearly Wednesday night when she came up and she said, first of all, she always says this, hey, you're my best friend. Okay, good. You're my best friend too. So she said that and then she goes, you have a big belly. I said, okay, I know. That's fine. That's fine. I know. I know I don't look like a rock climber. Don't tell me. I don't need to know again. Okay, But I tried it one time, and actually it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot about life very quickly the first time that I went rock climbing. One thing that happened to me is you start climbing, you get way up this face, and you get very near the top, and then you realize, I don't know where to go next. You know what you do in that situation? Really, the only thing that you can do in that situation is just stop. And you just kind of take a break and lean back on a harness and sit there and reevaluate. Where am I? Where am I going? And what's the best way to get there? You have to take a break. You have to rest a little bit to find where you're going next. Set your hands and feet in a new place from whence you can set off again, because you have reset your mind and you have reset your body. And I think most of us will admit we've had some similar experiences in life. You know, you just have some similar experiences like that. Even Jesus did something like that. Occasionally the text tells us He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would make it a point to pull away from the busyness of life and reset and spend some of His time one-on-one with God. It was a deliberate thing. Matter of fact, one time when Jesus spent all night in prayer, He comes back and we find Him the next morning making a monumental step in His ministry on this earth, choosing the 12 apostles. We would, I think, all do well to make some deliberate time to do the same, to reset, to take stock of life and find out where we are, to pull our minds back from the hectic nature of this life and to figure out what's most important, where we're going next, what's the next step that I need to take toward God. The second thing that I think we learn about rest and that makes it important for us is that rest gives us a chance to re-innovate or renovate. That's an interesting word to me, re-innovate. To innovate is to make something new, is to change something. It's something that's different, that hasn't been done before, and yet you're doing it again. I like that idea. Colossians chapter 3, round about verse 10, it talks about us being renewed, renewing our minds day by day. That every day my mind is made new by the opportunities, by the Word, by the faith that I have in my God. And rest. Rest gives us a chance to do that. Now, I admit this is a very similar idea to that idea of resetting that we just talked about. But while resetting helps us understand the same path a little better, renovation, re-innovating might help us to think in a new way. It's the kind of thing that happens when we become Christians, that we get to a point where we can rest in Christ, and yet we find ourselves with an entirely new direction in our lives. We come to find peace in Him, and we find something entirely new on which we can focus. The promised land that God gave to the Israelites was supposed to do that for them. I think it's interesting, when they left Egypt, God promised them Canaan, and we think, well, they're just trading one place for another. No, God says it's more than that. What I'm giving you is a land where you can be a different kind of people. You can rest and change who you are. You're not going to be nomadic anymore that you were in the past. You're not going to be a wandering people. You're not going to be a homeless people. You're going to be my people here in my land. He says that, you know, it's supposed to be a place where they worship God differently. They're going to go to Jerusalem now rather than just worshiping God wherever He can be found. They're going to be a place, the new land is going to be a place where they can stand as a beacon of godliness to the world around them. They are at the center of the known world of the time. They are at the crossroads of several major civilizations, and God says, I'm changing who you are. You're not going to be slaves to Egypt anymore. You're going to be my beacon to everybody. He was to give them a land of rest that was to change who they are. That was God's design. That they would rest from their travels. They would rest from their sojourning. They would rest from being aliens. And they would begin a new kind of relationship. And sometimes that happens for us as well. You take some time and you look at where you are and you go, this isn't the kind of relationship with God that I need to have. I need to make some serious changes here. I need to change and to become more like what He is actually trying to make me. I will grant you, in terms of the Israelites, that they failed miserably at taking God up on His offer of rest and of renovating and of making themselves new. But that was their fault, not God's. He fully intended to do what was perfect for them. His design, His plan, His purposes will work, and they are entirely pure and perfect. Now, here's the one that I want to focus on the most this morning, because I think this one is the most important for me. I mentioned just a moment ago that God intended the Israelites to work on their relationship with Him. And that's one of the most important things that I think rest can do for us. It gives us a chance to reacquaint ourselves with God, to work on the connection, to reintroduce ourselves to that relationship. Now, that's going to mean, obviously, taking time away from the jobs and the assignments and even the people in our lives on occasion to work on our relationship with God. We are talking this morning in all these different passages of the Scripture that talk about rest and how God gave that to His people. In all of those cases, God intended a connection with the people. And so when He says, why don't you to take a day off every week? That was unheard of in their culture. He says, I want you to take a day off every week and trust me. Connect with me. I want you to take a year off every 7 years. That's unheard of in any culture. And God says, I want you to do that, and I want you to connect and to trust in me and know that I will take care of you. When He talks about heaven as the ultimate fulfillment of His promise of rest, God talks about it in terms of us being in His presence, of connecting with Him and working on the relationship. Even the Passover, the feast that was celebrated once every year, they celebrated their rest from slavery in Egypt. How did they do it? They did it by seeking God. They did it by seeking to be in His presence. I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. I sometimes forget to think of God as a person. Anybody else have this problem? God becomes more of an idea than a person to me sometimes. Because I study Him in a book and I read about Him and I talk about all these different ideas that how we're supposed to relate to this idea of God. And sometimes I forget that God is a person. And that He desires relationships, and that He desires a connection with His children. I sometimes forget about that. And I don't want to, I don't mean to do that, but that's why it's important for us to occasionally let our minds rest. Rest from the world and rest from other people even. So that we can remember to have an open conversation with a person who is God.
We listen to Him speak through His Word, and we speak to Him in prayer. We keep an open conversation with God so that we have a connection, so that there is a relationship being built and being forged in all of that. That's one of the great beauties of the Gospels, of the Bible's picture of rest for God's people. It is that we finally get a chance to become familiar with God again. That's why rest gives us an opportunity to trust God. We're getting to know Him and remembering that He can always be trusted. Rest gives us an opportunity to seek God. No healthy relationship between two people can exist without one or both parties seeking to be around the other. That's why rest gives us a chance to celebrate God. The more we know Him, the more glad we are to know Him. And the more glad we are to know Him, the more we worship Him. It's a natural process. And it comes by letting our minds rest in His presence. And above all, rest gives us the opportunity to know God, to understand Him, to be connected to Him more closely than any other person that we know. That takes, again, a deliberate decision. A whole set of deliberate decisions on my part. I have to decide if I am going to make it a priority to find this kind of rest in my God. Now, before I move away from this, I just want to say a quick little word about a kind of a warning, I guess, here. When we talk about pulling away from the hectic nature of life to spend time in the presence of God, let me just say that it might also occasionally be appropriate for us to rest from religious things in order to make time for spiritual things. Personal story here. I went to a college that is a Bible-based college. I went to a college where there are lots and lots of Christians around the area. And I went to a college where it's very easy to find a group of Christians getting together any night of the week for a short Bible study or devotion or something like that. And in that setting, I went to most of those. I went to church services 2-3 times a week, like you typically do here. I went to most of those weeknight events and that sort of thing. And yet, the more I went and the more busy I got with doing more and more and more and more of those things, the less that I came to know God. And it wasn't the fault of anybody that was teaching me. It wasn't the fault of being there necessarily. It was just the fact that I wasn't seeking God. I was seeking time doing stuff. But I wasn't seeking time to rest and be in the presence of God. I just want to remind you this morning how important it is to take some quiet time. And I said make, both of those are deliberate ideas, make some time to be in the presence of God and spend time being reminded who He really is and what it means to believe in Him. There's a good reason that peace and quiet go so well together. You know, you can be at peace in a very loud setting. You can be at peace in a very energetic setting. But at the same time, there's really no substitute for some peaceful, quiet time to meet with the Almighty God. One of the hymnals that we used where I grew up, at the church where I grew up, it had "Take Time to Be Holy" and "Sweet Hour of Prayer" on the same page of the book. There's a perfect little connection there. Sweet hour of prayer and take time to be holy. I think that's an important thing. I think that's an important thing for us to realize. Now, with all that said, I want to do something weird this morning. At least it's weird to me, but I'm doing it anyway. I want to issue a challenge to all the kids that are about to be on summer break. This is for anybody who wants it, really, but it's especially for those who are about to be out of school for the summer. Here's what I'm going to do. Over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to read the Gospel of Mark. 16 chapters, 14 days. It's not that much reading, but Mark has some long chapters, so I admit that. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge. I'm going to be posting the chapters that I read each day on my Facebook. And so if you are on summer break, and you are on Facebook, you're in a perfect setting to follow me and do this with me. I'm genuinely inviting you guys to read through the Gospel of Mark with me. I know that summer vacation is supposed to be a time of total brain deadness. I understand that. I don't want to think about anything. I want to sleep till 2 p.m. every day. That is fine. But when you wake up at 2 p.m., let's grab your Bible and read a little section about Jesus the Christ first. By the way, I'm going to start this tomorrow, okay? I know that you don't get out of school till next week, most of you, and I just misread the calendar, but that's my fault, and you're going to have to suffer for it. That's what I want to do with you. 16 chapters in 14 days. It's not going to be that difficult, but it will be good for you and good for me to make some time to rest and seek God a little bit more. Because our lives are all about God, we need to make sure that we are doing some things to bring more of Him into our lives. All right? If you're with me on that, check it out on Facebook in the morning. It'll be there. Okay, last thing we want to talk about this morning. When all of this is said and done, when all of it is put together, and we look at the whole biblical concept of rest, it ultimately comes out to heaven. The culmination of all these discussions is heaven, eternity in the presence of God. I want to read a passage from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, this is verse 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter God's rest, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, God has again appointed a certain day, today, saying, through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. And so then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. The reward for those who serve Him. It doesn't mean, come on, come in, sit down, you've earned it. No, it doesn't mean that. It's a gift of God's rest. It means, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the promise of God. That is where all of this culminates, that He invites us to rest in His presence for all eternity. And that's my invitation for you this morning. If there's somebody that wants to be part of that, that you want to know this kind of eternal rest, this kind of eternal bliss, eternal peace that is offered, you can only find it in Jesus Christ. I admit that this morning's lesson is very simple. Very, very simple. But maybe that's why we fail to take it seriously sometimes. Because it is so simple. And yet in Matthew chapter 11, when Jesus says, I will give you rest, it's not only a promise of heaven, it is a promise of rest from the strife and uncertainty of now. And so I hope that there's somebody that wants to find that in Him this morning. That we can invite you right now to be saved, to let Him save you. The Bible says that those who repent of their sins and confess that He is Lord and are baptized into His death will be saved. If that's what you want to do this morning, would you come forward and let us know about that while we stand and sing this song?